Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Thanks for coming out today. Adonai, in the name of Yeshua, we come before you as you come before us with your word. We thank you, Father, that someone has the directions that are true. Thank you for your order. You are the God of order. You are the God of life, and you are the God of truth. Thank you for all you have done for us. In Yeshua's name, amen. B'chukotai. In. Anytime you say b'h at the beginning of a word, it means in my statutes, in my ordinances, in my world. B'chukotai. Chuk is the center word here. Chuk. This Parsha, we have the consequences of free will. The choice of operating in the realms of life versus operating in the realms of death. The maximum benefit of our salvation. Adonai, thank you for the Torah. And thank you for those who dedicated their lives to writing it the same way every year, every century, every thousand years. Im b'chukotai. Telchu ve'et mitzvotai, tishmeru va'asitam otam. Va'asitam otam. He has a promise here. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. I was thinking of this morning when they were singing the song, Let It Rain. We have the choices here. This is very similar to Deuteronomy 28 to 29. This consequences of free will, the choices of operating in the realms of life versus operating in the realms of death, not in both. James 4, 8.
Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
In James 1, 5 through 8.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
This, as I teach each year over the past 15 or so years, you teach and you study and you teach and you dig for these things to all tie together, and you find out that everything he said happened and is going to happen. There's no way out of this but his way. Everything he said happened, and it's happening now. The rebellion of Israel in its former years, in its youth, caught up with it like it does with a lot of us, and they got dispersed. In this parsha, it says in verse 3, if you choose life, by adhering to his ways, that we will receive rain in its season. Leviticus 26, 3 through 13.
If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright.
This says physical and spiritual aspects in here. These benefits of our salvation, so when we adhere to the one who created all the salvation and the Messiah and the planet we walk on. In Isaiah, Yeshayahu 55, 10 through 13, it says the same thing.
For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorns shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
12, can you go to 11 maybe it was? 12 or 11 or 10? Yeah, where it says void. Okay, see that red, blue 3? Put that on there. It shall not return to me empty without fruit. Now, when you combine these rain, ground, growth, word, man, growth, the rain is like the word, and the man is like the ground. We come from the dust, we come from the ground. The word waters us, and we grow, we bear fruit. That's why he says he doesn't want to water plants that don't bear fruit. He yanks them up and throws them in the fire. He wants to water something that's going to give something back, and that's us. He gives us something, we give him back. We represent him. We adhere to his ways. It's a lot harder to adhere to what's trendy than it is to adhere to what God is asking. Let's say, Yeshayahu, it shall not return to me without bearing fruit. Deuteronomy 32:2.
Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb and as showers on the grass.
It waters us. Walking his instructions causes one to bear fruit. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob means what he says. It is not folklore. Yeshayahu 46, 9 through 11.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country, indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it.
And I will also do it. His word is designed specifically for his chosen to live by. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17.
But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Yeshua. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
It brings us towards completion, the final goal, not the present boast. The word repent in Hebrew, teshuvah, means to turn away from what is unpleasing to God and turn towards what is, what was originally designed for us not to leave. The Torah, the teaching instructions that are pleasing to him when walked in, are for our benefit. Since Yeshua is the Torah, or God's word in the flesh, John 1, 1 through 5.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
We know through this, it's right here, he says that Yeshua is the Word. And then it goes on in 1:14, and it says, and Yeshua dwelt amongst us. In 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So we know that Yeshua is the walking Word. He's the Torah of God. And then he turned into the flesh and dwelt amongst us. And then he makes a declaration, John 14:6.
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Now, this is a perfect verse to show how Scripture interprets Scripture. We cannot look at Ani HaDerek V'HaEmet V'HaChaim. We cannot look at that and say, well, I know what way he's talking about, and I know what truth. He was honest, and he was alive. Okay, we know this. But it says so much more. I am the way, Mark 1:3.
The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
Prepare the way of the Lord, clear it up, admit the confusion, get it straight, the way, for he is the way. Make his way explainable and simple and eradicate all the confusions of man. He says, Ani HaDerek, I am the way. Acts 24:14.
But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets.
Believing all things which are written in the Torah and the prophet. The way. I am the way. Then he says, I am the truth. I am it. Psalms 43:3. What is truth? Now, look at this. Okay, now, I want Scripture to tell me what this word truth is really meaning. Okay, we go to the Scriptures. Psalms 43:3.
Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle.
And Psalms 119:142. What is truth? Your Torah. The Torah, Teka, Emet. Your Torah is truth. Okay, so now we know what the way, Yeshua says, I am the way. He is representing a lifestyle. And it is the truth. It's based on the Torah. And the life, Proverbs 10:17. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life. Proverbs 15:24.
The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below.
Life. Yeshua says he is alive. Jeremiah 21:8.
Now you shall say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death.
Right here, he set before us. This is referring back to Deuteronomy. When everybody was read the Torah, they said, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose. So Yeshua comes to us as a choice, a full set of three benefits, a lifestyle that is not wrong, that brings us life. This is Yeshua. We go to the Scriptures to let Scriptures interpret the Scriptures. I've heard of places that said, well, we believe that we're left to our own understanding. Well, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. The life, Acts 2:25-28.
For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence.
Okay, he's declaring right there that you have made known to me the ways of life. He's talking of the only way that God could make known to someone the ways of life is with the Torah. Amen. It's the only place. He had it written, had it preserved, and set it before us. And the world runs from it. Life. Now this verse, he said, in Acts 2:25, this is very interesting. In Acts, he's speaking back. In Acts 2 here, let's look at this again, 2:25, and he's quoting Psalms. You have made known to me the ways of life. Okay, that's past tense, correct? He's talking in the past. You have made known to me. Now look at where they're getting this from. Psalm 16, 8 through 11. This was before Acts.
I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Psalms is speaking into the future. So in Psalms, they're speaking into the future. You will show me the ways of life coming at him. And in Acts, he says, and you have shown me the ways of life. So it's very interesting how even how this book is set up, it speaks in directions. These are things to watch as you're studying. Number one, let the scriptures interpret scripture. Go back to the customs and manners, the language and the people of the times, and then put it together and you'll get the answer with what the word says. We are not entitled to make our own opinion of it. Adonai, whatever you say, wisco. The Torah, the teaching instructions are pleasing to him when they're walked in. So when Yeshua says, Ani hadrek v'ha-emet v'ha-chayim, he's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeshua is saying that he represents his Father's directions and instructions. He is the instruction in the flesh. And that's why he declares John 6:44. Now remember, he's a walking Torah.
No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
No one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws them. No one can come to me, and I will raise him up in the last day. Here's that word, those words, last day. The Torah will raise them up because of the direction. The flesh, the Torah and the flesh will raise them up because of the declaration we just read in Leviticus 26:3-13. We just read that declaration. So that last day is referenced in John 7:37-38.
On the last day, that great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
That 8th day is also spoken of in the scriptures, the last day of Sukkot. Simchat Torah is the last 8th day. Everyone from his time on and back and in the diaspora that loves Elohim in his fashion, will be there meeting him on that last great 8th day of Sukkot every year. And this is a very powerful day. For those of you who haven't experienced it, the 8th day is the 8th day of Sukkot. And that is when we end the Torah cycle and start a new one. And this is the joy of the Torah. It is also called new beginnings. It is the beginning of the next Torah cycle. And this is the point to where we are to be elevated from the past year's growth into receiving more information from Adonai for the next year of trials. And if we apply these cycles, they help. Everyone will be there. Zechariah talks about it. Now, on the other hand, we have rebellion. Leviticus 26:14, I'll read this, was through 39. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments. How many times have I seen people despise the law? I should say despise Yeshua. It's sad. It should be taught that Yeshua is all of this. I will appoint terror over you, wasting disease, fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Why will he set his face against you? Because you set your face against him. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. After all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. That's some rough country. Bad way to live. And if these things are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of your enemies. And when I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. Boy, that whole chapter, that whole verse right there, one big metaphor. Where he says, when I have cut off your supply of bread, your understanding, 10 women shall bake your bread, meaning the dispersed Ephraim. The bread is doctrine in one oven, one way of thinking. And they shall bring you your bread by weight, and you shall eat it and not be satisfied. You'll be wondering, is there more? After all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. You shall eat, this is prophesying, we read this last week, 70 AD. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation. I will not smell the fragments of your sweet aromas, and I will bring the land to desolation. And your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate. And you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest. For the time it did not rest on your Sabbaths when you dwelt in it. As for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. The sound of a shaking leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword. They shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another as if it were before a sword, when no one pursues. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And those of you who are all left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, also in their fathers' iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste away. This is the beginning here. This is showing the stubbornness of rebellion and how it is handed down to the children. Exodus 20, verse 5.
Say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel and raised my hand in an oath to the descendants of the house of Yaakov, I made myself known to them in the land of Mitzrayim. I raised my hand in an oath to them, saying, I am the Lord your God.
Deuteronomy 5, 9 through 10.
You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments.
Jeremiah 32:18.
You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them, the great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts.
There's too many witnesses in Scripture here for us to overlook this. This is very serious. Just as Adonai has said he will do, he does. And when he says he puts the iniquities, which is avon, the twisting and a deviation from the straight path due to temptation, any of these deficiencies we have in our lives, goes right to our children, right to our kids. This is very important stuff. And we always hear this saying, and history just repeats itself. There's another example of God. What God says is true. What he said is going to happen, happens. Just like he says, don't cross a donkey with a horse. Don't have hybrids. They can't reproduce. He says, don't do that. If you do, they won't reproduce. And they don't. They don't reproduce. God stopped it. He says, don't do that. These things get handed down. We gotta love God so much that we're willing to say yes. But we've got to love God so much that we're able to just let that all go. We just have to let it go and say, God, my fathers, my family, my ancestors were all wrong. And I am here in this foreign land because of it. I'm here in America because of my ancestors' rebellion. And not only along with that, I got a bunch of baggage on my back that's been messing up my life that got handed down to me. And there's not one person in the room that can escape it. Unless we renounce it in the name of Yeshua and bring it to recognition and explain it to our kids so they understand it. Because this does not go by undone. See it every day. One must renounce the iniquities of the fathers. And it takes, this is Leviticus 26:40 to 45.
But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Yaakov and my covenant with Yitzhak and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember the land. The land also shall be left empty by them and will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they despised my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Mitzrayim in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord.
This is very important, verse 45. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors. When people are running around saying, we're under a new covenant now, those old covenants are done away with. Boy, how... It says right here, he's going to remember that covenant, all those covenants. They're stacked upon each other. They're not done away with. We wouldn't have a rainbow. He is given, at the end of all the rebellion that he has in verse 20, in chapter 26, he ends it with, I will not utterly cast them away. 722 B.C., the northern kingdoms were dispersed through Assyria. 586 B.C., Judah, the southern kingdom, Benjamin and Levi, they all got scattered. And then 70 A.D., it happened again because of Lashon Hara. The temple was destroyed, all the backstabbing. And so everyone was dispersed out of Israel after 1.1 million people died right there in Jerusalem. It's a graveyard. And just because of rebellion. Because somebody thought they had a better idea. That's all it was. And they got dispersed into Europe. They got dispersed all over. Hebrew was banned from being spoken for 2,000 years. It was, and until Israel became a state, it all started opening back up again because the people came back with a pure heart because they knew what had happened. They had read their Torah and said, oh man, this is real. This really happens. Look at us. We're Ashkenazis. We're Sephardic. We're Ephraim. We're Christians. We're scattered everywhere. And where we wind up, we cry out. He said, you will cry out. And then when you do, you will cry out in those lands where I have driven you. And when you do, you will do it with everything. Matthew 22:35-40.
Then one of them.
What it takes.
Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Yeshua said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
And this is spoken down in through the generations in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6.
And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live.
And the heart of your descendants, that's us. That's us. Micah 6:8.
He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
To walk humbly with your God. Wow, that doesn't mean you walk humble. It means you walk in obedience with him. You don't question him. The minute you question him, you're not humble anymore. You understand what I'm saying? He calls us sheep. I never heard a sheep turn around and ask me, hey, where are we going this way for? But man does it. Cows won't even do that. They'll fight you, but they won't talk. Talk back. Walk humbly with Eloheka means you walk in obedience without questioning him. That's the root of it. You say, okay, you made me. I got to acknowledge, I didn't order myself here. He made me, so I better get in tune with him. He knows me better than I know myself. It's kind of like the internet. And the law enforcement. They got more stuff on you than you know yourself. You know, the all-seeing eye. God is watching our hearts. He's watching our hearts all the time. Every soul. He watches the hearts of men. This is very important. Walk humbly with Eloheka. 1 John 2:6.
He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked.
Ephesians 2:10-13.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh of hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Yeshua, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Now this is very important. I've gone over this before, but I want to go over it again because we have people come and go so much. It's a revolving door. I should have put a revolving door, not two doors. Therefore, that remember, he says, remember, Jay, I once a Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, what is by the ones who are called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without, I was without Yeshua, I was an alien from the commonwealth, and I had to look that word up. Commonwealth meant citizenship. Why didn't they put that in there? Being aliens from the citizenship of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Now, you know, when I was a pagan, if somebody would ask me what was the citizenship of Israel or the strangers from the covenant of promise, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know what the covenant of promise was. So that's where I was at. Then God revealed, pulled me in, blessed me, showed me that I am no longer Gentiles. Remember, I've heard Christians calling them to say, they've said to themselves, I am a Gentile Christian, which means I'm a believer, non-believer. This is very important because he brings up strangers from the covenants of promise. This is another proof that the covenants are not done away with. Without hope and without God. So, I was a pagan without God. And now we know about the covenants. We can study those all the time, the seven covenants of God. Very important. For we are his workmanship, created in Yeshua for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Living in the directions of the King. Remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, at that time you were without Yeshua, being aliens. Covenants of promise. Notice the plural there. It doesn't say covenant of promise. It says covenants of promise. One little letter makes big difference. Having no hope without God in the world. All the covenants were stacked upon each other. And in the book of Hebrews, we have a little verse that has been misconstrued and misunderstood, Hebrews 4:13.
And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account.